Dear friends, grace and peace to you in the name of our crucified and risen Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Okay, so it's truth time. How many of you made New Year's resolutions this year? Got a few. Okay. How many of you have actually achieved what you resolved to do? One. Wow. Great job. I resolved to lose the weight that I gained from the holidays. And confessing my failure in front of you is not easy to do. Especially when my resolve didn't last past the first football game on New Year's Day. My resolutions quickly failed. And I became disillusioned, left to sit in darkness and stare at a scale that had to be wrong, wondering why. That's the way it often is when our heart really isn't into the effort. In the Isaiah text we just heard, the people of Israel seem to be a little disillusioned with God, and the prophet wonders if their heart is really into the effort. The people crying out, "Hey God, we're right here. We're here right in your temple doing some mighty fine fasting, and you don't seem to notice." Quite frankly, we're a little disillusioned. They shouted, "Here we are, just a few feet from your home on earth, the Holy of Holies, humbling ourselves to beat the band." Sorry to say it, Yahweh, but your chosen people are disappointed in you, disillusioned that you haven't seemed to notice us, that you don't hear us. Have you ever felt disillusioned by God? Often we can feel that way. Disillusioned about God. Almost every one of us has a story to tell about the first time you think God let you down. Maybe you were 8 or 9 or 80 or 90. You did everything right, praying just the way you were taught. You knelt by your bed, clasped your hands, and prayed for all you were worth, but nothing happened. Perhaps it was the time you asked God to heal a loved one. Only the answer never came, and you cried at their memorial. Perhaps it was the time you prayed that God would give you that perfect job. You cried when the answer and the job never came. And from our lips comes the eternal human cry. Why, God, why? Why do we worship when you don't reveal yourself to us? Why do we pray Sunday after Sunday for peace, for health, for the hungry, the oppressed? But you don't give us those things. We cry, "Why don't you speak loudly and clearly, God, so the whole world can hear you and we can get off our knees?" Dear friends, God's silence is stunning. And in that silence, we often make more noise ourselves, shouting at those who must be the problem, looking for the scapegoat. You know who they are, the others, the outsiders, the real reason God isn't listening to us. And still, God is silent, and we become disillusioned. Perhaps it's only when we stop, and we ourselves become silent, that we can understand that our disillusionment is not a bad thing. Take that word apart, and you can begin to hear what I'm saying. Disillusion. The loss of illusion. The end of make-believe. Is that a bad thing or a good thing? We become disillusioned to learn that God's presence is not something we can demand, something we can earn by being pious. God's job is not to reward our devotion for being holier than thou. Whether we're standing on the corner praying for all to see, or simply expecting God to do what we want, God's agenda may, in fact, be quite different than our own. The Israelites found that out when God told Isaiah, "Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness." That is how God answered the chosen people. And it is an answer that makes us yearn for silence, because his answer shatters the status quo. It shatters the illusion that we might have. For God is saying to the people, it is not I who have forsaken you, but you who have forsaken me. If you can't hear me, it's because you're making so much noise, you're not listening. I'm not ignoring you. You are ignoring me. To the disillusionment of the chosen people, God was not where they thought God would be. They thought God was supposed to be with them, just a few feet away, when they prayed and fasted and piety. They thought nothing pleased God more than to find them on their knees with sackcloth and ashes. They were wrong. God wasn't just there, behind a curtain, listening to their pious prayers or watching their fine fasting. God was out in the streets, warming his hands over a flaming garbage can with a group of homeless people. God was standing in the immigration line, holding tightly to his beloved as they sank into darkness. God was handing out quilts to those shivering in the cold. God was in the emergency room at the hospital. God was with the hopeful and yet hopeless in the refugee camps. And God in Jesus Christ is there now, holding the lost, the lonely, the rejected, the people on the fringe of life, reminding them that they are loved unconditionally, bringing light into the darkness of their lives. This is the fast I choose, God said to the sackcloth and ashes crowd, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the chains and yokes, to let the oppressed go free, to feed the hungry, to care for the widow, the orphan, to welcome the stranger. That, dear friends, is what God chooses. Perhaps the big disillusionment, the loss of make-believe, is for the chosen people and for Christians today to discover that we cannot serve God without serving our neighbors. We cannot turn in on ourselves in darkness and expect to be the light of the world. An Anglican archbishop in the 19th century said that it's a great mistake to suppose that God is chiefly interested in religion. I think Isaiah would agree. For God is chiefly interested in love. Love for every human being, for all God's beloved children. Not just those praying in the sanctuary, but those praying on the edges of humanity, those displaced by war and famine, those crying in the darkness of an empty immigration hall. I believe that God is particularly interested in destroying our human illusion that we can live apart from one another, as if God's children are not related to each other. But some sitting in the warmth of a sanctuary are destined to be winners, and others on the cold fringe of life destined to be losers. I believe that God is particularly interested in destroying the illusion that walls separating one human being from another are a good thing. Yet, this day we build walls. Walls that separate us from our neighbor because we don't like the way they look or live. Is that a good thing? Would you call that a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Hiding ourselves from our neighbor, putting the light of Christ under a basket, is not a city issue or a rural issue. It's not a conservative issue or a progressive issue. It is a human issue, and that makes it God's issue. We cannot hide from our neighbor without hiding from God. We cannot be the light of Christ by hiding under a basket. Yet this day, somewhere we will pull a basket over the light. Hiding our eyes from our neighbor standing on the corner, homeless and hungry. Hiding our eyes from injustice. Is that a good thing? Will you call that a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Dear friends, we as Christians are on a journey. A journey that started with an illusion. It started in the wilderness of life, life seemingly spiraling out of control. The wilderness of an uncharted terrain beyond the edges of our seemingly secure and structured world. But it is there, beyond the safety of the sanctuary, on the fringe of life, where the brokenness of life is revealed, where God is revealed, where the illusions are shown to be what they really are. Make believe. The invitation God gives us for this journey is an invitation to disillusionment, to see the illusions of life, our lives, for what they really are. It is an invitation to remember that God is the source of all life. Dear friends, it is the time, the acceptable time, to come before God and lay our illusions on the altar. In this time of darkness, how will you take a deep breath in the busyness of life? How will your soul be transformed by the invitation to not see the illusion, but in the light of Christ, see the truth of God? How will we find hope in the face of the struggle of trying to make our way in the wilderness of this troubled world? Today, each of us carries some baggage for our journey. Perhaps it is the baggage of grief, or unexpressed sorrow, or pain, or suffering, or fear. Sadness for refugees and strangers in need who are turned away. Sadness as we gaze at the walls that we build around us. Perhaps in our hectic lives, we need to be still, just for a minute or two, and know that God is God. And let's take that time right now. For the next 2 minutes, in the safety of this sacred place, in the presence of God who is with you, I invite you to close your eyes, be still, and know that God is God. Let's take that time now. Beloved God, this journey we are on is for the sake of life. This journey is a journey to justice for our neighbor and for ourselves, to healing for our neighbor and for ourselves. And it begins here, right here at this table. It is a journey that will bring hope to the hopeless and light to a world living in darkness. There's really no detour on the journey that we're taking through life. There is is only the living water of our baptism and the grace for forgiveness at our Lord's table. And the unconditional love of God given for you and for all people. And dear friends, that is more than enough for the journey. May each of you be like